I think you're ready now to hear a little story about a girl. Girl named Megan. Girl named Megan that didn't have a very good time in high school. I'm referring to myself. When I say Megan, it's me, Megan. And I know you look at me now and think, boy, she must have breezed through high school. Not the case, Annie. Okay? They used to try to blow me up. They threw firecrackers at my head. Firecrackers. I mean, literally. I'm not saying that figuratively. I got firecrackers thrown at my head. They called me a freak. You know what I did? I pulled myself up. I studied really hard. I read every book in the library. And now, I work for the government. I have the highest possible security clearance. Don't repeat that.
I won't.
I can't protect you. I know where all the nukes are, and I know the codes.
I won't say anything.
You would be amazed. A lot of shopping malls. Don't repeat that.
TBTL.
Snap! This comedian was crazy in the 80s with his raw and delirious routines. Jared.
Oh, he's hilarious, dog. Who is Rick Moranis?
Anytime you can do something that's fun, you like to do it and make money doing it, hey, it's a win-win-win. And anytime you can win-win-win, you're win-win-winning, you know? If you're just winning or win-winning, that's just winning or win-winning. But when you're win-win-winning, you're win-win-winning.
Hell yeah.
Well, all right. Hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
We're getting medium play on three independent radio stations in Central Europe.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
Hi, everybody.
Coming to you from Portland, Oregon, and the Jupiter Next Hotel on a gorgeous, gorgeous morning in the Rose City.
Oh, Ma. Pa, it's just beautiful.
The sun is out. The sky is blue. I'm staring at the West Hills of Portland, and it is quite a scene, everybody. Wish you were here, but glad that you're riding along for episode 3102 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
We got some fun for you today, including a story about a police chief in
New Hampshire
who found out that the city where he was working was going to no longer need his services. And they said, turn in your badge and gun. And he did him one better. Took off all his clothes, walked out of the city council meeting into the snow without a real great plan. I identify strongly with the actions of this former police chief because I like to do dramatic moves without a good plan. So we'll tell you what happened out there. Also, somebody is gluing tiny wigs and MAGA hats to pigeons in Las Vegas in advance of an appearance by the current president. And would you believe that Fox News, when covering it, completely 100% got the whole thing wrong?
I'd like to point out to anybody watching, this is really bunk journalism.
I bet you would believe that. I bet that would not be a thing that surprises you. So we'll talk about that, plus emails, V-mails, and because it's a Thursday, a.k.a. a Blursday, we'll do some Blursday messages as well. First, we got to welcome this guy, longest-running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, their majesty, their splendor. He's ready to party with the best of them. He is Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Walsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my Cobro.
Good morning, Luke. It finally happened. It was bound to happen, but it finally happened this morning. I woke up from a dream in which I met the Stugats, and I told him his voice sounded great. It's true.
Andrew, Stugats, collision course.
Actually, as I'm laughing, I know I'm worried that I'm laughing like him. What does he always do? This is a character from the Dan Le Batard show. Sorry, everybody. I promised I wouldn't talk about this show anymore, but it is seeped into my dreams, maybe because I've repressed it so much on the show. The show is now seeped into my dreams. He does this thing. He always laughs and says, I mean. And then he doesn't say what he means. He just laughs and says, I mean. Classic Stugats. But they've been making fun of him on the show lately. I mean, maybe they always have, about how terrible his voice sounds, apparently. And just saying that, like, what just clear your throat. What is, like, what's going on with you? Why does your voice sound so terrible? And he, on yesterday's show, claimed that people were telling him that he had, he sounded better than ever. And,
your voice
so
is
in
like
my
a
dream,
combination of Fergie
exactly,
and Jesus.
In my dream last night, I told him, I said, your voice sounds great. You know, I think I introduced him to Genevieve. I said, this is great. This is the guy I talk about all the time. Genevieve, doesn't his voice just sound great? And I think she agreed.
Okay, don't be jealous, but I had the very rare dream that I remember last night. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't remember all of it. Just for me to even remember like one or two just snapshots from a dream is kind of rare. And I don't know what that says about me or my sleep patterns. Probably not good. I'm probably sublimating and burying all kinds of terrible, terrible secrets. But don't be jealous, but I had a dream about our friend, media mogul Chris Hayes, last night, and something happened where he and I were hanging out, and we were, okay, it's starting to come back to me. We were in, like, the Northwest, let's say maybe Portland, kicking it, and then we got the wild hair, let's go have a bros weekend in New York, which is weird because that's also where he lives. But we basically decided to board a plane in Portland, like, last minute, and then I think it was even a red eye, fly out to New York for a bros weekend, which, again, is so it's nonsensical on every possible level. But you're dreaming about Stugatz. I'm dreaming about Chris Hayes. We seem like a couple of dream catchers that came to life.
That's right. I'm not jealous. I really thought that story – I mean, no offense. I don't have real-life FOMO, let alone dream FOMO. But I thought for sure that story ended with Chris taking over my roles on TBTL.
I never dream about TBTL. Do you know how little I think about this show?
Do you know that I almost only dream about TBTL? Have I told you this? That, like,
no,
this
seriously?
Okay, this is really weird. This is just weird, but it's a weird day, so I don't know why it's a weird day. I assume it's going to be a weird day.
Make it a
will
weird
be after
day.
I say this.
Is that on a Splenda packet you're looking at? Make it a weird day.
Yeah. You're in my dreams more than anybody. You are probably more in my
Thank
dreams
you.
Than Genevieve. And the reason is, now I would recommend, I don't want to tell you what to do, I would recommend that you get out of my dreams and into my car. Mm. But the thing is,
the van with no windows? No gracias.
It has windows. I just painted over them. because I almost always dream about travel or work, and often it's work travel. And so quite often a dream will begin or end with us prepping for a live event or a meetup or whatever. Like, so many dreams I remember are somehow TBTL related, and they're almost always travel related. And I travel with you a lot. So quite often it is like somehow entwined in my dreams. And I've told this to Genevieve, and she doesn't seem to have any dream FOMO about it either. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
Now I feel bad that our work together and, frankly, our travel together are not in my dreams. Does that mean I'm not prioritizing our relationship enough?
No, I think that – I mean, the truth is I'm a man who dreams about work, Luke. Someday finding it. I think no matter what my job is, I will dream about work. And, you know, right now my work is pretending to be your friend. Why would I say that? So
I don't know.
That was so mean. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I feel a little cranky. Theo is screaming outside my door. I just tried to – I sneakily opened the door while we're talking here, and now he is in here. I'm trying something new. Instead of keeping him outside where he's crying and lonely all the time, I'll leave the door open. But then if he starts crying out there, I'll be in a lot of trouble because everybody will hear it. So I have moved a chair over next to me on my side of my desk here, and he is sitting perched on the edge of the chair, but I know what he wants to do. He wants to jump up onto the table and start mashing the keys of my keyboard, and we can't have that.
Two things. One, I'm going to let the listeners in on a little behind-the-scenes TBTL fourth wall breakage, which is we had a little technical glitch, and we had to stop recording for a minute. And in that little break, right as we're about to restart, you use the F word in relation to being mad at Theo being outside the door. And
my friend Theo? Is that what
yes,
I said?
You called Theo
I
got to
let my
friend
Theo in here.
Yeah, it was weird. But you were like legit rip shit at the cat in a way that I rarely hear. Like, you get frustrated with things, but you don't actually swear that much that I can think of. And it's usually like you don't let that – you don't let that side of yourself out a whole lot. But between the technical glitch and then like the cat doing exactly the wrong thing at exactly the wrong moment, you were pretty ticked.
He just wears me out, and I know that he's an animal. I know that he's not doing it to wear me out. I'm trying to be kind to him, but there's just something about him just constantly. And again, like, eventually he'll go take a nap in the other room, but just, like, especially when you're trying to get something done, if you're on deadline, let's say that you didn't get all the blurzes in order last night, so you're trying to get them all in
order. But you did dream about doing the blurzes, so I'd say that's 50% of the work.
Right, right. Then I woke up, I'm like, oh, damn, I got to do it all again. And just, like, if there's even a slight kind of irritation or something that you're working on, and in the background, it is just a constant – I mean, it is – constant, not like maybe taking 1 or 2 seconds in between just to breathe, and it's just like meow, 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 and like, and then when I'm dealing with this technical thing, which was an unprecedented mess, I was just, he just, yeah, this is sometimes I just like swear. But he's in here now. He's still sitting on this chair. He's not cuddled up. He's sitting. He's expectant. He wants to jump on my lap. This isn't – he's not getting the full cuddling that he wants and needs. He's not getting the thunder shirt treatment that I like to give him and that he likes to get.
Other thoughts on this. One, I think whatever's going on – well, I mean, what's going on with Theo is that he's a very old cat. But Rudy is also going through – Rudy the pod dog going through an extremely like – needy, whiny phase, and I can't quite figure it out because, like, she's got a great life. Like, the other day I picked her up from dog sleepaway camp, which is, I mean, I know we did the story about how dog parks may not be all they're cracked up to be, but I can tell you she loves being at this doggy daycare because it's a bunch of dogs. She's friends with them. She's got that sweetheart guy who she gets to cuddle with. Maybe that's the problem. She doesn't like being home because she's not cuddling with her awesome overnight sweetheart, which, by the way, good nickname for any of our friends, listeners, romantic partners. Awesome overnight sweetheart. But
yeah.
Anyway, so like I picked her up. It was like 11:30, which means that she got to spend all morning just running wild with other dogs. And she had been there for like 2 or 3 days. And I get her home. And, well, first thing she does, the second I open the doors, she beelines it for her food dish, which is like, dude, come on. Have some dignity. It's 11:30 in the morning. You know that's not when that happens. But she checks that out, of course, finds that there's no food there, and then just proceeds to whine for like a solid hour. And it's like it'd be one thing if she had been trapped indoors for a full day or something. But, I mean, she's like coming back from having had a – she was at Chuck E. Cheese for dogs. She was at Charles Entertainment Cheese for her particular species. And she's home for less than 2 seconds, and she's, like, bored. Like, if she was a kid, she would be saying, I'm bored. And I'm just like, what is going on with you? Also, she's 6, which is, like, she should be mellowing, and she does not seem to be mellowing.
Well, I before you even mentioned it, I was going to say it in a way that is not jokingly or trying to hurt your feelings. But I do wonder if she just gets so much stimulation with the other dogs and with her, I don't know, her other daddy. Is that what we call them? No, that.
I mean, sure. I don't care.
No, but I do wonder if she's...
It's a non-monogamous. It's an ethically non-monogamous relationship.
Sure.
Ethically non-monogamous. There's something there. I just can't get to it.
It's all on the fly, people. We're doing this on the fly every day. What can I tell you? But anyway, I do wonder if it's just she maybe gets a lot of stimulation maybe with other dogs and just having other dogs around. And then when she comes home, it's like maybe like a bit of a... bit of a, I don't know, soft landing into a more solitary existence?
Maybe, but it's like all – I mean it's not that solitary because she can hang out with me in any room in the house too. Like it's not like she's lonely it would seem because she can hang out with me. It's just like – or we'll go on a walk. I'll take her on like a 5-mile walk where – and this is a thing I've been really trying to do. I think I've mentioned this on the show before is like when I take her on a walk, I am trying to really – not think about it as the walk is not for me. The walk is for her. So if she wants to stand there and smell the trunk of a tree for 4 minutes, that's fine. That's her journey. I'll listen to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend or whatever. And like so that's what I try to do. I try to really let her get a lot of smells. We go pretty far though, and then we'll get home. And it's made no measurable impact on her state of mind, which is like feels to me like she's got a pretty great life. Maybe because she's a lab, she should be like tromping through the marshes and like hunting ducks or something, like that cartoon dog from Duck Hunt. Maybe that's the problem. Like, yeah, Muttley from Clutch Cargo. Uh-huh. Like,
I don't do a lot of imitations, but when I do, I make them count.
They're solid. They're spot on. Yeah. So that was your Bill Clinton, right?
It was. It absolutely was.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on with her. And then the cat's a whole other ball of fur because you talk about Theo wanting to get on your lap and walk around things. The cat is, as has been well discussed on the show, the cat is terrified, thinks I'm – the other day, I don't know if I was – telling you this or telling some of the LiveWire staff this in a phone meeting, but Rudy always wants to bring in these really soggy, gross stuffed animals from the yard. Mm-hmm. So she'll take a stuffed animal out there at some point, and then it'll get left behind, and then it'll be completely waterlogged. But then she'll want to go grab it and bring it inside, and it's like, that is not going to happen. So she was trying to bring this elephant inside, and I was like, this is a Democratic household, Rudy. What do you think? And she's like, I'm socially liberal, mm-hmm. but economically... Mm-hmm. conservative. But no, I grab the elephant and I just like toss it aimlessly or mindlessly into the backyard. It lands probably 8 feet from the cat. The cat takes off like a shot through this small hole under the fence into the neighbor's yard, where there's by the way, weirdly, a dog that she hangs out with in the neighbor's yard. They have this like Australian shepherd that she's friends with. And I can see her run through that yard into a different neighbor's yard. She is going like she's changing area codes over the stuffed animal landing 10 feet from her.
Well, it was an elephant. It was the elephant in the room.
It was the elephant in the yard.
Yeah. Well, a quick update here. Theo has been sitting next to me. I just sent you a picture.
I saw it. Can that be the show pic?
Yeah, I'll post that as a show pic.
It's
very
really
cute.
Sitting
it's next
super
to me, a little
cute.
Co-worker. But he did moments ago, like a second ago, just jump down. He's decided he has heard enough stories about your cat, and he's just going to go in the other room and take his nap now. And now I won't hear from him for about 2 or 3 hours. He'll just go nap in the sun, which is fine.
Well,
I don't want people to think that I'm mad at Theo. It was just a moment of
– yes.
It just can be frustrating. Mm-hmm. It can be frustrating mm-hmm. when you just have that constant noise. You know what? If anybody wants to know what I'm talking about, ask your partner right now what it's like to hear TBTL on in the background constantly, and then ask them how they feel. That's,
the partner's
that's,
like,
that's the vibe.
I'm going to bring the podcast into the room. I'll put it on a chair. Maybe that'll calm it down.
Mm-hmm. Nobody puts podcasts in a chair.
I think I'm having the perfect morning, Andrew.
Really?
Other than
talking
you know,
to me?
Other than talking to my pretend friend, Andrew, I think I'm having a really good morning. Got up, actually motivated to do a little early-ish morning jog here in Portland. And I was just running along the Willamette River, and it was just like a glass. And it's like this part of town that we stay in because the LiveWire, which is happening tonight, by the way, is sponsored by, among other things, the Jupiter Hotel. So that's where I stay when I'm down here. And it's just – it's so beautiful because I jog across the – I think it's the Burnside Bridge it's called. I don't know. I'm terrible with – this is called Bridgetown, by the way. There's like 8 million bridges. But it's – I'm jogging across this bridge, and it's that iconic, you know, kind of like, well, I don't know, welcome to Portland sign that's actually an outline of the state of Oregon. And every time I try to describe the history of it, I think I thought it was White Stag. Somebody corrects me. There's some history to it. But there's like the most iconic sort of like section of Portland is just on full display, and the sun is out, and the river was beautiful, and it was just like, I thought, why don't I do this every morning? Like, why do I drag my feet to do something that actually makes me feel this good? Got my coffee downstairs, my complimentary coffee. They put in a mug for me, and I was smart. I put a coaster from the room over the coffee to keep it warm, so now I'm drinking warm coffee as I talk to you. It's just everything's coming up Millhouse this morning in Portland for me.
That's awesome. I love mornings like that. And also, I'm sure, like we said yesterday, the kind of changing of the weather and the light is
yes.
probably helping a little bit.
I'm not emotionally ready. I'm not in – what is that thing that was going around the internet? Are you in the emotional place for me to tell you something that's going to
yeah.
be hard or whatever? I am not in the emotional place for us to go back to Northwest weather because,
right.
side note, it's February, or as I call it, February. We're barely halfway through this nightmare that is the winter around here. And I know people in other places where it's
I don't know, that is true.
Probably.
I guess it does. It can really depend. You're right. Sometimes it can be cold. I do always. I always remember that photo of us on 4th of July at a demolition derby, and we're all bundled up under blankets, like it was cold. So you are right. Yeah. It can last, but sometimes the weather around here surprises you. God, this is so boring.
Yes,
sometimes the weather surprises you, but you never know. Sometimes I do believe here that
when did we morph into
be...
Boomhauer and Hank Hill standing
God
in an alley?
Yep. Oh man, let's talk propane.
Okay.
When I have a feeling, my spidey sense says we're going to take a break soon. When we come back, can I share with the listeners just really briefly this email that I received yesterday from a long lost friend and how she accidentally tracked me down?
Yes, let's do that. And the top stories, and you know maybe. Just a little bit of Theo, if he wants to get in on the show. Put him on the chair, mic him up. Let's do it. Maybe that's what's been happening. Theo is trying to start a podcast, and this whole time Theo is just doesn't want to be weird about it, but is kind of trying to angle in on TBTL. Did you ever consider that?
I did. When I stare at the Pod Pets poster that listener Amy made for us, and everybody's – I think all the pets are gathered around microphones, and I say, you know what, that looks like the life for him. That's what he wants. That's what
that's
he needs.
That's the new Dogs Playing Poker, by the way, is animals hosting a podcast.
Right.
All right. Let's take a quick break. They'll be back with more TBTL in just a moment. Why do I love this song so much, but I hate the idea of the musical Cats? This could 100% be from the Jellicle Ball. And
is
yet,
that true? How do you know so much about Cats? How do you know about the Jellicle Ball? Have you seen
only
it?
Only because it was such... No, I haven't, but the movie, like the live-action version of Cats was so kind of panned that I ended up reading about it so much just as a kind of monumental flop. And so that's how I know there's something called the Jellicle Ball. You know, to be honest with you, like, the premise of Cats doesn't sound terrible to me. I never even knew what it was. Do you know what the Jellicle Ball is, apparently?
No, but I will say that ever since I was a kid, the idea of Cats, like, really creeped me out. I'm not into, you know, dance and musicals and stuff. And even as a kid, I remember seeing these adults half dressed up as cats, but not even fully dressed up, like furries. Like, not that I knew what a furry was then, and not that I'm one now.
Would you make up for lost time eventually?
There is something always I found. I mean, I'm just going to say this, and I apologize, but I always found it gross. I found the presentation of cats very unsettling.
And it was like coming to the Cleveland Civic Center. I feel like, you know, you and I didn't grow up anywhere near Broadway, but we both had some weird sense of Cats because I feel like it was always coming to the Pantages Theater, Cats. And you'd see like a quick TV clip and you'd be like, ooh, that's weird looking. But something like the premise, I'm going to get this wrong. And we have listeners who are really into musical theater and are going to just be beside themselves with how bad my description is. But there's something having to do with all these cats get together and like one of them gets an extra life, or maybe a cat dies and it gets a ninth life. Like, I like that the stakes are high at this Jellicle Ball. But that's pretty much the extent of my knowledge. Are you Googling this? How close am I getting to the actual plot of Cats?
How close am I getting to not having the internet? I don't know. My computer's not working over here. Yeah, so
really?
Well, that's
not good. I thought, because I'm out in the world as well. So if I were to go on the internet right now, I would interrupt this recording that we're doing. So I guess we're just flying blind. That's okay. We don't need the internet, Andrew.
It's not the actual internet.
Let's host
for the record.
Like we used to back in the day before the internet.
Yeah, right. Yes. Okay. I will call Cairo. actually, you know what? Let me just transition into that because I mentioned this before the break.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
email.
This was such a I don't know. This is a personal story. I don't know if it translates, but it brings so much joy to my heart.
Do you think it'll be more interesting than me trying to describe the plot of Cats?
But I mean, you just never know with the weather. Just like wait 5 minutes. I mean, right? I mean, yeah. What a terrible Stu Gatz imitation. that's what that was. I mean, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's going to be good by the end of the year. So anyway, I got an email out of the blue from a friend who I had not talked to in at least 20 years yesterday. And this is what it says. And by the way, this came into my my TBTL listener email. So Andrew at TBTL.net. And it came in twice, once through the actual like kind of automated form that we get when somebody submits something through the website. And then also I got another email from her, the same exact message that was sent to me directly at Andrew at TBTL.net. And the only reason I point that out is clearly she doesn't really she didn't really know the best way to reach me, right? She's just kind of like, just kind of
plastered. It's basically like my mom trying to get in touch with me. My mom would, back when I was on Facebook, sometimes she would just randomly Facebook message me, or like, I'm not saying that this friend of yours is Dottie, but it's just like my mom would just use the most random, like, I can't get a hold of you. I just sent you a message through Web TV. What?
Right. I think she was, what do you sometimes say, crushing the zone or what? Or like
flooding the zone.
Flooding the zone because, like, she doesn't have any of my personal contact information anymore. I mean, literally, when I knew her, I didn't have a cell phone, right? So this is how long ago I knew this person. And so she must have, you know, when I popped into her head, she must have Googled me and found TBTL and then used the two forms to see if one of them would stick. But anyway, this is what it says. So I'm driving in the car this morning and I'm flipping through the stations and I stopped to listen to Cairo Radio. They were having a discussion about household roles and gender inequality. Your name was brought up in the discussion, as in one of our guest hosts, Andrew Walsh, is very particular about how things are done. I was laughing so hard because I had forgotten that my old friend Andrew Walsh from Kent State, Ohio, was now living in Washington. But the description I heard on the radio was so spot on, I knew it had to be you. In case you couldn't guess, this is your old friend Liz from college. So this is my friend Liz. I mean, I think the more interesting part of this, too, that I left out is, keep in mind, I didn't grow up around here. Like, I grew up in Ohio. I knew Liz in Ohio. She doesn't know I'm living in Washington State, or maybe she did at some point. But she recently moved out here just like 6 months ago from Ohio and is living in Issaquah and is just randomly flipping through the stations and stops to hear a conversation. I'm not on the radio, but I am just mentioned in passing on the radio. And she connects it like, oh, Andrew from Ohio. He was in radio. And I can't tell from this email if the reason the description was so spot on me that I had feelings about gender roles or just that I was kind of specific and meticulous. Genevieve thinks it's the second. I don't remember being either one of those in college. But anyway, I was just so shocked. And it was just like, you want to talk about coincidences. It's like she flips to that station 2 seconds later and I don't get this email.
How like happy are you that the Walsh brand is that strong?
I am intrigued. I am really intrigued. And I actually, we're getting together in a couple of weeks and I'm going to ask her without being hopefully too self-obsessed about this. I want to know what, because Vives and I are in a little bit of a debate now. Genevieve's like, oh, the part that she heard that she knew it was you was the fact that you're like, you know, very particular, as Liz says in it. But, and I was thinking, I don't know. I don't think that I was particular in college. Like, I don't think that you would see me in college and be like, oh, that guy, he's a real neat freak. I mean, I was wearing clothes. I mean, long, shaggy hair, clothes that were like 4 times too big, a small studio that reeked of cigarette smoke and Freon from my air conditioner unit.
I mean, what's extremely burned in my brain, indelibly so, is that you were using a bench seat from the minivan as an actual seat, right? And that there was a ketchup stain on the underside of a loft bed. Am I getting any of these details right?
Yeah,
and this is not reading like as neat blood. Freak to me.
No, not at all. So anyway, I am interested to know, because I also don't think that she said that the conversation was about, you know, gender roles and regarding household chores. And while I definitely have thoughts about that now, that doesn't strike me as something that I was spending a lot of time thinking about in college, but I don't know, maybe I was. I don't know.
If I can just circle back to something here, take it out of the parking lot, unpin it, and bow this up for the listeners. Sure. The plot of Cats is around, it centers around a tribe. I just got the internet back here. The plot centers on a tribe of cats called the Jellicles as they come together at the annual Jellicle Ball to decide which one of them will ascend to the Heaviside Lair, that's their version of heaven, and oh, be Christ. Reborn into a new life. The bulk of the musical consists of the different contenders being introduced either by themselves or by other cats.
I just realized something. I don't know what it is. It's not Theo. It's not the internet connection. It's just, for some reason, I feel like everything is sort of stacking up on me today, and I find my nerves are very close to the surface. And I'm just thinking, if there's any honest answers you want to get out of me today, Luke, like unvarnished, not worrying about anybody's feelings, not worrying about whether or not I hurt somebody's feelings because they love cats, hit me up right now because this is about as raw as you're going to get me.
Would you be my date next year to the Jellicle Ball?
I have the tails if you have the diapers.
Is that a show title? I already wrote down Make It a Weird Day, but I think I have the tails if you have the diapers is possibly a better one.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
A police chief in New Hampshire pulled a, I think, very Burbankian move, which was, it's Croydon, New Hampshire. Did you ever spend any time in Croydon, New Hampshire, Andrew?
That doesn't even sound familiar, and it's a small state. Usually I've heard of most
but
of the city.
This is apparently a very small town, too. This guy, Richard Lee, was the police chief and, it would appear, only police officer in Croydon, New Hampshire. And so the town, whoever the, you know, sort of town leaders, I guess, decided to – and this happens a lot actually in policing. They decided to go ahead and have – eliminate the position and have their policing of their town covered by a larger nearby town. I think probably for budgetary reasons. But this guy, Richard Lee, was apparently taken by surprise or he was ticked off – because he comes to the meeting where they basically – actually, it's the New Hampshire State Police that are going to cover – they're going to cover the town of Croydon now. And so the guy, the police chief slash only police officer who's been doing it for 20 years, shows up at this meeting, finds out that he's not going to be employed there anymore. And they said, you got to turn in the key to your cruiser and your guns and your uniform immediately. So he starts stripping down. He takes off his gun, his badge, his key to his cruiser, his police shirt, his police pants. He's now just in his underwear and shoes. And they say, but you can keep the clothes for now. And he's like, nope, you said immediately. And then he just walks outside into the New Hampshire winter and starts walking home. Somebody calls his wife, who picks him up a half hour later, walking down the road in the snow, almost nude.
Says he made he thinks he made it about 3/4 of a mile before
his
wife picked him up.
Which is far, considering he didn't have any clothes on.
And he didn't call his wife. Somebody else called his wife and picked him up. By the way, if you're wondering what he looks like, I'm going to make a comparison here that everybody will get. He's got some pretty strong
Mr.
Jack
Mephistopheles?
Nance. Yeah, I was going to say Jack Nance. Everybody knows, you know, household name Jack Nance, the actor
you
who played.
Love You compare more people to Jack Nance than anyone I've ever met. And this
I happened to do it once recently, but I'm not wrong. Look
well,
up
that's
Jack
more
Nance.
Than anyone else has ever done in
my life. Okay, fine. I knew you were going to say that because I did make that comparison once about 2 weeks ago, but I think in our 10-year friendship, I've made it twice. It just happens to be near each other. But I told you, unvarnished, raw Andrew today.
Like
don't
it.
F with me.
I
but look
it.
Up Jack Nance and look at this guy and tell me that
I'm
Jack Nance.
I'm too busy looking up cats. Can you if you had to compare Jack Nance to someone famous, who would you compare him to?
Mr. Mephistopheles, I would say. Did I even say that right as I regurgitated your joke? What is it?
Mr. Mephistopheles, I believe, is a character in Cats. I do, and I'm not even looking that up. I'm just remembering it from someone saying something about Cats. Okay, I'll stop with that. If you stop with the Jack Nance, I'll stop with the Cats. But this is like, I again, I'll say it for the third time. I can – in a way, see myself doing something like this, because obviously the dude was ticked off. Like, he you know, felt somehow done wrong by the city managers, which is also kind of weird to me, because you feel like this couldn't have come as a total surprise to him, right? Like, there had to have been some bad blood here for him to just go from, like, I'm the police officer in the town to, like, oh, really? Oh, you don't want me to be the police officer? Here's all my stuff, and now I'm practically nude. Peace, deuces. Like, that's a weird reaction. There must have been some bad blood.
Yeah, I'm trying to kind of – I don't – did you read this in a national paper? Yeah. I'm looking at the local papers now trying to figure out what happened.
I read the AP story, and I read a CNN version, and it doesn't say – neither of those said anything about a particular disagreement. But you can tell by the statement from the city managers. They're like, we really thought this through. This is a fiscal decision. You know, like, they're trying to sort of take the high road, and he's like – even if they try to hire me back, I'm not going back, because it's just going to be something else. Like, this is clearly a dude who's disgruntled about how he's been treated as the police chief slash one police officer of Croydon.
I have a little bit of background on this exact question about what led up to this. It says this is from the Manchester Union Leader. I guess that's the New Hampshire Union Leader now. Lee and board members have been at odds for years. Before last year's town meeting vote, Quimby, who I think Quimby must be the selectman, and the board hired an outside firm.
What's that like, being a politician in the Northeast named Quimby? You have to talk like Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons?
Don't make me do the imitation, because I don't
know. Chowder!
Still working on my Stugat. Anyway, Quimby and the board hired an outside firm. What about that? the board.
That's a pretty good Stugat.
Well, it's not good, but I lowered the bar earlier, so I'm just inching very slowly towards a more realistic Stugat. Quimby and the board hired an outside firm to investigate the department. The current board has refused to make the completed report public. Last year, Lee was complaining about a new police radio that the board bought for his cruiser. He said that the unit was weak and did not work. He was in danger without a functioning radio. He was pressured by residents. So it sounds like he whipped up residents to, like, complain on his behalf, and the board eventually bought him a more powerful unit. So it does sound like this is one of those things. I thought it might have just been a budgetary thing. Like, it doesn't make sense to continue to, you know, run our own small police department. Let's let the state take it over. But it sounds like this guy was a pain in the ass, or like, you know what, let's just, like, be done with all of this.
Also, no offense, but, like, if I live in a town, do I want one Jack Nance looking kind of complainy guy in charge of all of the safety?
Like, hey, who's Jack Nance?
He's sort of a Mr. Mephistopheles okay. type, I think is how he's commonly right. described.
We're caught in a loop. We
have to achieve escape velocity from this Cats related and Jack Nance related yes. trap.
We have to sling off of this joke, like in yes. every space movie where they yep. have to, like, spin around and like use
we're
somebody's
going to the dark
orbit.
Side of the moon.
Yes.
By the way, we're just going to be the podcast is going to be silent for 8 minutes as we go around the dark side of the moon. So
yeah,
everybody,
right.
just be prepared. We may or may not reestablish contact. Like, you know what I mean? Like, one guy, and he's not young. I'm. It just seems like clearly there's not a lot of crime probably in a place like this. It's a small town or whatever, but it's just like, I don't know. It would not make me feel super safe as a resident to know there was, like, one police officer and he had a crummy radio that he was unhappy with. Like, you don't want like that guy to be like, I'm on my break right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd probably rather the New Hampshire State Police handle it, because, again, I feel that there are more of them and they're probably able to do a better job.
Maybe. That I don't know about. We could go and sit in these meetings. I mean, there could be concern among the residents that, like, you only being able to reach out to the state police, which might seem like a more faceless network, and will they get here in time, and will they patrol in the same way?
But, I mean, do you think Jack Nance is racing to the scene?
That's yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he seems like a guy who might take his job really seriously.
Until he's quitting, until he's taking off all his clothes and walking down into the snow. Also,
that
how did he not just
serious.
Die? How did yeah. he not die? Like that? How did he not get, like, hypothermia?
I know. Actually, you know, I do love that about this story is it's very New Hampshire. Like, this is very New Hampshire. Just, like, just stubbornness and misplaced pride. I don't know if it's misplaced in this case, but, like, I actually
misplaced flintiness.
Certainly, you can't hear a story about New Hampshire without hearing flintiness. So I don't know. I mean, him stripping down to me indicates that he did take this very seriously. But what it means is he took this all very personally, and maybe that's the problem.
Good, that's a really good clarification. That's exactly right. This story out of Las Vegas that I saw this morning is that some art collective that goes under the name Putin, which is an acronym for something that I don't have right in front of me, but they have done this project where they're gluing tiny MAGA hats and wigs to pigeons. This is in advance of the current president making an appearance in Las Vegas, because, of course, his move, and I'm not trying to get too political, his move is to constantly show up where the Democrats are doing things and try to steal some of the attention from them, because he's a super secure guy who does not need to constantly have everyone paying attention to him. But what I thought was kind of funny about it was, well, first of all, this is somebody was gluing cowboy hats to pigeons in Vegas a while ago. I think we talked about that story. I was relieved to find that, I guess ornithologists said that the pigeon were probably okay, that, you know, they could still fly with the hats on. It didn't probably hurt them. And then the hats would eventually sort of – they would molt the hats off. But these people who sort of did this whole project with these birds, it is very clear to me that they are they're artists. I'll put that in quotes, I guess. And their statement is a little muddled, right? Like they're being very coy. They talked to the Las Vegas Review Journal. They're kind of all over the map with what they're saying. But I watched a video they released today, and it's like a bunch of kind of nonsense audio drops. So it's actually not unlike TBTL, but it's a bunch of like weird audio drops over a video of people in Vladimir Putin masks releasing pigeons. Now, this is clearly not a pro-Trump operation. Is it a crystal clear message? No, it's kind of a mess in terms of their statement, but it is not anti-Democrat. And of course, Fox News goes, protesters protesting the Democratic caucus in Nevada with MAGA birds or whatever. Like Fox News completely interpreted this as a criticism of the Democrats, that some people are so excited about the current president that they're gluing MAGA hats and wigs to birds to try to drag Pete Buttigieg. I was like, whoever the ad wizard is at Fox who's supposed to like write these things up, they are extremely misguided. I mean, would you agree with me? There's no way this is something that's pro the current president.
I mean, I only am, yeah, based on everything that you've told me. I haven't seen this elsewhere, but it sounds like I didn't watch the video. I have a question for you because I'm a little confused about this. This is not related to necessarily the cowboy hat people, right? That was a marketing thing for some event that was happening in Vegas, but that might have sparked the idea for these,
yes,
as you said, quote-unquote artists to maybe try this.
Right. Yeah, I read two articles on this, and there's no indication it's related to that, but maybe they got the idea from it. They didn't say. Mm. Again, it's like the people that are like doing this project are just – they're claiming a couple things. One, they raised these pigeons like – in a coop and were like training them for this mission. This is what they told the Las Vegas Review Journal. And also they're using the kind of glue that you typically, like say, women will use to glue false eyelashes on to their eyelashes, their existing eyelashes. And so their point is that this is not actually that harmful. They said that they're actually trying to like – they're trying to sort of be aware of the health of the pigeons. Although, by the way, one of the cowboy hat pigeons did die. They think it may have been because of the glue that was used to glue the cowboy hat on. So it's like, come on. I mean, let's not torture the pigeons, you guys. But anyway, I just like the two things were, one, like the video of this is just – it's a comically bad attempt at art. People just being like, what are things associated with the current president? You know what? Putin, man. He's just a puppet for Putin. Mm-hmm. And so let's put on some Putin mask, and then we're going to release MAGA birds. It's like – it is like the hackiest – I mean, in my opinion, it is the most like hacky attempt at being edgy art thing you could probably do. But it is, in my opinion, there's no way that these are like MAGA dudes that are trying to support the president by gluing comical wigs onto a bird. If anything, it's slightly making fun of the president, because the only thing that looks sillier than that hair on a pigeon is that hair on his actual head. Like, this is not a pro-Trump event.
I'm seeing that now I'm looking at this now, and it turns out that this has led Mike Bloomberg to purchase every other pigeon in the country.
That is a solid, solid spoof.
They're wearing Bloomberg 2020.
Did you watch the debate last night?
No, I didn't. I was out with Genevieve, and we kind of mentioned, oh, yeah, we're missing the debate. But often those debates – I saw one really good one that a while back on MSNBC that I thought was really good. But for the most part, I really don't like the debates where people really have to elbow their way in, and it's very cacophonous. And sometimes sometimes the people I'm rooting for need to do that. So whatever. I'm not weighing in on it, but just as a viewing experience for me, knowing that I can get the news later and will is fine for me. And I literally said to Genevieve, you know, I we're not watching it now, but I just hope that I wake up tomorrow or look at my phone later and just see a bunch of headlines and tweets that say Warren beats up on Bloomberg. And well, I guess I got my wish.
It happened. Like, not to get too down in the sort of weeds on it, but like, there was this moment where Bloomberg is trying to like throw shade at Bernie Sanders for having three homes. And Bernie Sanders's point was, I work in Washington, so I have a house there. And then I also live in Vermont, so I have a house there. And then I have a camp, he called it, which is, you know, a summer home. But I think he was trying to kind of, first of all, they call it a camp, I think, in Vermont. And second of all, that sounds better than, you know, second or like, you know,
vacation home.
Vacation home sounds a little bougie, but it was like the funny thing was the Bloomberg campaign, it didn't really land, this thing from Bloomberg, but they put it out as a major like, ooh, Bernie got served, and then people were commenting on Twitter. If this is what the Bloomberg campaign thinks is, if they think that he won this round, that's not a good sign for them. I think all of the all of the reviews are that he really did not he did not make the impression that he was needed to make or was trying to make, and it was basically Warren just kind of like body slammed him, as it were.
Let me ask you this, so that we can kind of get away from just like kind of recapping the politics of it. How do you feel about debates? Do you get the same kind of cringy kind of like because I wonder if part of the reason I don't like the tone of more combative debates is that I am probably a little bit adverse to confrontation myself. Like it really, you know, it's like mommy and daddy are fighting. Do you get any of that when you're watching the debates as well?
Yeah, especially when it's between the candidates. Like, so for the I feel that way if it's the Democrats. Because like most of – I mean, I have my kind of, I guess, of the current, you know, would-be nominees, I have the ones that I like better and the ones that I'm less enthused on. Bloomberg would be at the bottom of the list of ones I'm enthused on. But it's like I kind of would rather any of them than the current president. And so them tearing each other down kind of – that sort of bums me out and it's awkward. I will tell you that like the Trump-Clinton debates – also really stressed me out because, I mean, he was like physically menacing her on stage and just being weird. And like that energy was really hard for me to watch. So I'm not looking forward to whoever emerges and then has to debate this foolio. I'm not like looking forward to that. And I will probably, well, I don't know. I guess it depends on the mood I'm in, but I might actually just watch the highlights from that stuff because it does give me a really uncomfortable feeling. When I was a kid and I used to be watching like the Jerry Springer show or whatever, there would be a point, or even like Donahue. Did you ever watch Donahue when you were a kid?
My mom had it on a lot.
Like, when there would be one of these shows where people would be arguing, it would make me so uncomfortable I would change the channel. Like, I couldn't watch people being mad at each other. It just made me feel like maybe I was feeling unsafe in the world or something. But it was like it really stressed me out as a kid. And I do think I still have some of that even as an adult.
Yeah, because for me, I think everything that you said, I agree with as well, because we, you know, because of my political feelings or whatnot. But even putting that aside, I think it's just like, yeah, the structure of debates, whether I just like you turn it on and hearing people kind of yell and argue. But again, especially not the ones where people are just like literally debating and point by point. The one that I saw, they can have an impact on you, though, because I do think that I was half-heartedly supporting Hillary Clinton the last go round, but actually seeing her performance in the debates, especially I think as the debates went on, I can't remember how many times they faced each other, but I remember like the last two being like, oh, no, I'm not voting against him. I'm voting for her. Like that had a real effect on me seeing her and saying, okay, yeah, I can see what you will be like as a leader, right? And same mm-hmm. with this other debate, and I can't remember where it was, but it was MSNBC moderated it, and it was a really good one a couple of months ago, and it was still the wide range of candidates, maybe one of the first ones where they were all together before, you know, mm-hmm. after they split them up into groups, and. You know, some of the candidates who I had just like kind of just written off, I didn't know much about them, but like, I don't know, Cory Booker is a good example. I always thought like Cory Booker is kind of a good, glad-handing, very likable man, but I just kind of figured he might be kind of like weak tea as far as a candidate. Like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but him, same with Klobuchar, frankly. And
is that when you started to really. Is that when she started to build some Klobmentum with you?
Yes, exactly. It is true. Like, I had totally written her off. All I knew was the stories about her being kind of abusive towards staff members, if that's the right word. And that was all I knew about it. But then, like, in a moment of, yeah, these guys are, like, kind of really talking to each other and really, you know, trying to get the better of each other rhetorically, but not just, like, yelling and not talking over. You know that feeling when, all like, there's four people all talking at once with the moderator going, like, that sound, like, is so rough on my ears.
You would have really not liked the format last night because it was raise your hand when you want to talk, I think. I mean, I didn't turn it on for the – like, I didn't get there for the coin toss, so I didn't know exactly what the, like, you know, ground rules were. But what I know is by the time I dipped into it, everybody on stage was raising their hand to talk, which was very infantilizing.
Yeah, like, that sounds weird.
I have something to say. And then, yeah, you're right. The tone was like everybody had to – it wasn't just like here's what I stand for. It was a lot of like here's why all these other people kind of suck. Mm-hmm. I mean and that was – that's a bummer for me to see because, again, I would take literally anyone on that stage, including the moderators, including whoever it is who does the AV – whoever does the custodial work after the confetti drops, like any person who's near that stage, I would take over the current president. Mm-hmm. But it's even worse to see them kind of tearing each other down, unless it's Bloomberg who deserves to be torn down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's where the disconnect is for me because, again, last night I think it was an example where for the people that I am rooting for, they needed to do that, but I just didn't want to see it. You know what I mean? So for me, there's almost a disconnect between what I know had to happen last night and I kind of wanted it to, but was I going to watch it live or was I just going to find out what happened the next day? I chose path B.
Were you going to talk to your good friend Luke Burbank, who would hip you to all of the important highlights, which I just did? So you're
That's
welcome.
Great. That's great. Yeah. Now just picture all the cats on stage debating. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that there
Got a really sweet email from a listener yesterday saying all the things that they like about the show. And I think maybe even a first-time emailer, but then at the end said, but you got to get rid of Blursdays. It's absolutely killing me. And then offered like three segments to replace it. I'm looking for the email. I don't have it in front of me right now.
Man, why do people like how? I mean, if it's not like, can't you just like hit fast forward if you don't like it? Like,
I would like to reiterate, this person's email was really sweet. This person
right,
was not,
right. I'm not
beating
trying
up.
To,
yeah.
No, I'm not trying to, and I'm not trying to be critical of them being honestly critical towards us, but. No, I'm just saying, like, what I don't understand is I feel like with the Blursdays, it's just like if it's not – it's the end of the show on Thursday. So it's like if you don't want to hear it, I don't – look, we've already probably done all our ads, okay? As long as you bought something from Everlane and hired someone through ZipRecruiter, we're cool.
Oh,
You can move on.
Could we get – numbers on the Blursdays? Do you remember when we were in a meeting and our marketing guy was able to kind of show where like the shows would kind of peak?
Yeah.
Should we
ask
him?
Hey, by the way, we can see
all of
us forwarding the ads, guys. We can see it.
Which is weird. I almost hesitate to bring that up, but
I put so much work into those reads, and to know that some of you are fast forwarding them breaks my low heart.
I had a great joke about let us talk about produce, which wasn't even a joke. It just happened during an ad. That was real.
Apparently during a DoorDash ad, I said power in, power DoorDash into your belly. And Phyllis Fletcher liked that and sent me a nice note.
Oh, good. Yeah, I remember editing that one and thinking, huh, I wonder if that one will get tossed back. But it didn't. That's good.
Made it.
Anyway, I'm going to find ways to zhuzh up the Blursdays. People are going to be begging for Blursdays by the time I'm done with them.
Ooh, begging for Blursdays. It's a good show. Man.
Ooh, that's a. Can you write that down?
Yep.
Anyway, I don't have any zhuzh today. I just have regular Blursdays. Well, I'll work on it for next week. Happy Blursday today to my 10 friend Catherine in Kansas. I love that. Catherine is spelled with a K. So this is Catherine in Kansas. I assume that's why she moved there. She's an online friend who encourages me, and I wish her nothing but happiness in the years to come. You are special, Catherine. That is from Linda. Oh, check this out. That's from Linda in Lancaster to Catherine in Kansas.
Look at the alliteration on this guy.
Happy Blursday from Walsh in Washington.
But wait a second. Is it... way to go.
Lancaster, probably. I'm probably.
Is it Pennsylvania?
I don't know. Linda's spelled with a Y, so that's fun and flirty. And then, so it's probably Lancaster. Is that how I should say it?
I think the PA one is Lancaster.
Lancaster.
And the California one. What did I say? Do I say California funny? The California one is Lancaster.
I see. Well, I don't know. But happy Blursday to Catherine in Kansas. You are special. I'd like to wish myself a happy 50th Blursday, says Sarah, no H. That happened on Tuesday. Happy Blursday, Sarah. She says, I feel happy of myself.
We're going to play that drop again. We haven't done that one in a while.
Yeah. Josh says, my former 11, Karen, now a full-blown 10.
Yay.
By the way, yeah, when it's former 11, I was like, wow, you're wishing your ex a happy Blursday. But no. Former 11, now a full-blown 10, turns 35 on Sunday. And I can think of no better present than a Blursday shout-out over a bed of sweet, sweet Heidecker bass riffs.
See?
She's smart, kind, beautiful, and I'm lucky to get to call her my wife. Happy Blursday, Karen, from Josh. Ooh, got some twins. Katie in Tacoma says, I want to wish my twins, Joshua and Jeremy, a happy 27th Blursday.
Whoa.
Very, very proud of them. They are very popular. She says pretty popular. Don't let me gild the lily there, as you would say.
Yeah, yeah.
They are pretty popular down here in T-Town. They're known as the Peasant Boys. Looks like they're a musical duo.
Oh.
In fact, I have some of their music right here. Listen to this.
Okay. Oh, no, that's from Cats.
Is it? I thought this was Joshua on the bass, Jeremy on the drums.
No.
No. No. Oh, what about this? I got a note from my dear friend Tierra in Baltimore saying that she's having a birthday this weekend.
Hey-o.
Now listen, Tierra did not write a special message for herself, so let me just say this.
Oh boy.
From the bottom of my heart, Tierra.
Don't bring the Baltimore Ravens into this, please.
Browns rule, Ravens drool.
Drool. Ravens drool. How about that?
Now I'm jealous. You do a better Stugatz. I've been practicing all week, and you're just coming out of the box. Love it. But no.
Is that
happy
it?
Blur's Day. Happy Blur's Day, Tierra. Liz wants to wish a happy belated Blur's Day to Justin. She says, I love him, and we love listening to you. Shall we move over to the Bay, Luke, where we have Kenny in San Francisco, wants to wish a belated happy Blur's Day to his oldest kid, Miles, who turned 4 on Valentine's Day. He says, the TBTL indoctrination plan, i.e. listening to the show in the car every morning, is working, and he randomly sings TBTL and Power Out, and I struggle to explain to people what that means.
I love it.
Now, let me ask you this.
I was talking. Hold on, one quick second. I was talking to this nice, very nice young person named Mason. He's an artist in Bellingham, and he was saying how he kind of grew up on public radio because his parents would play it in the car. That's a thing you hear a lot from people of a certain age, and I'm always like, that's pretty cool. I like that those parents were filling their kids' head with information and what I would argue is pretty down the middle reporting. Now, if you're replacing that with TBTL, I mean, God, I don't know. We don't have enough longitudinal studies as to what the impact on children will be from being raised on this. So we're only going to find out years from now.
TBTL, Pow Out.
Who do you think that was?
One of the
that
twins?
That was Miles. That was one of the twins. That was Miles, who just turned 4 from Kenny in San Francisco.
All right, Miles is going to be fine.
Wendy says, hi, Andrew. Is it too late for Blur's Days? I probably should have cut that out when I was adding this to my Blur's Day list. Sorry. No, it's not too late for Blur's Days, Wendy. Mine was yesterday, the big 4-5, and I don't know any other 10, so I'm wishing myself a happy Blur's Day. I had a fabulous day. I had a fabulous day, but I clearly need to try some other 10s in Washington, D.C. Oh, try to find some other 10s in Washington, D.C. Have a good day. Thanks for what you do.
What was that person's name?
That is Wendy in the D.C.
Wendy.
Area.
There's got to be. I mean, I feel like D.C. is it may not be a hot zip for us, but it's got to at least be a warm zip.
I do believe it is a warm zip. I think you're right about that.
We've got to have a few. DC is full of smart people.
Yeah. Listener Jennifer's in DC. We've met
several listener
live
Jennifer,
shows.
Listener, I think Steven, listener Jennifer, and I don't know if it was Steven. Phooey. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of the other fine gentleman. They crashed a LiveWire party bus thing one time.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm trying to figure out, is it a good thing or a bad thing when you're podcasting and you can, off the top of your head, list all of your listeners in a major metropolitan area?
I'd call it a warm zip.
I got one more here.
Okay.
Cheryl, sneaking in right under the deadline, would like to wish a very special happy Blur's Day to my awesome 10-friend Catherine. Catherine in Kansas! Catherine in Kansas,
whoa,
double dip in.
Oh, man.
Full circle. This is how we started,
wow.
Right?
This is why people don't like the Blur's Day segment, because it's just dominated by Catherine in Kansas. They're like,
she's
Catherine in Kansas is the New England Patriots of this. She's like winning year after year after year. And they're just like, okay, we get it. You're good at
Blur's
Day. The Blur's
Day box is what she's doing. Yeah, I don't know if I like it.
Okay,
anyway,
happy Blur's Day.
Yeah, happy Blur's Day. That's from Cheryl. Cheryl says, we've never met in real life yet, but we bonded via TBTL and other common interests, and she's an all-around awesome person.
Nice.
Apparently.
See, I'm not kidding. I feel a good feeling when we read these listeners being nice to each other and they're loved ones and their children and the whole thing. I don't understand who could listen to that and be like, get rid of it. What kind of a Mr. Potter, warped, frustrated old person is not down with Blur's Days?
I don't know, but let's not bring age into it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a direct quote. That's a direct quote from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, it is? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And George Bailey says I can't do a George Bailey. Hold on. How about that? No, let me try my George Bailey.
That was coming.
He says, you're nothing but a warped, frustrated old man. And then later, Lionel Barrymore, a.k.a. Mr. Potter, says, you're nothing but a warped, frustrated young man.
I see what you're doing.
It's a burn. That was a sick burn, Mr. Potter. Anyway, weird way to end the show, but that's all right. That can happen sometimes. That's allowable. Anything else you want to say before we wrap things up?
Doors open here, as you know, because I was letting Theo visit me before.
I never forget and, for a Doors fan.
Professor Bananas just came in here and said a quick hello. So in case anybody is curious what's going on with
the cats.
It's
turning into a real Jellicle ball in there.
I think it really is. I might just leave the door open from now on. I don't like it being open. I don't know why.
Yeah, what's the deal? Like,
because I'm
there
coming
by
into
yourself.
Like my studio. I just like everything to be. I like to see four walls around me. Something about having that door open just bothers me.
Yeah, that's now we're getting down to it, my friend. Because this is Honest Andy Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, typically, you know, Genevieve is at work already when we're doing the show. So you kind of have your run of the place. You could have the door open, but there's something – I mean, like what you'd rather is like a soundproof door that has an on-air light. Like you want this to be – you know, we both used to work in real radio stations. And so I think you want at least some semblance of professionalism in the broadcasting. But really, you could just leave the door open, let the cats come and go. But that would make you feel like you're not doing a real job.
It's not about not doing a real job. It's just like not. I just don't like. I can't explain. I don't like having the door open. But also, the one kind of, I guess, strategic or tactical point of it is just because the door's open doesn't mean that Theo's going to stop crying. I tried it today, right. So to say like, hey, come in here, hang out with me, and then he ended up calming down and leaving. But if he starts wailing while the door's open, it's going to be even more of a problem. I'm going to have to stop down the show. But aside from that, even if the cats weren't here, even if I was taking them to cat daycare and I was here alone, I do like the idea of a door being closed when I do this show. Like, I am in my chamber. We are. But I will also say, let's close the things that close. That's exactly right. And I definitely do need to, after spending that week in St. Paul and talking into microphones and real studios, I realize how echoey this room is. I need to do something about this room. I think I might have to actually invest in some soundproofing, which just sounds like a giant project.
Well, first of all, APM should invest in some soundproofing because this is our job, believe it or not. And second of all, I think you could probably just hang a couple of, you know, hang some blankets or something, or get some of that foam. You just got to cut off a couple of corners maybe in the room. I'm talking like I know anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something I heard a sound person say one time. So I don't think it has to
– yeah.
I don't think it has to be that involved probably.
I do like the idea of like if I could just get like tapestries and just hang up like Grateful Dead tapestries and Doors tapestries, and then people come over as guests and be like, welcome. Welcome, Ken Jennings, to my podcast. And he can be like, wow, is that an Oaxa Moxa? No, what was that? What was that Grateful Dead record? I'm butchering it.
Oh, geez. I don't even know, and I'm glad I don't. I only can name like two Grateful Dead songs. I'm not anti-Grateful Dead, by the way, but I will say this. A lot of times when I hear a song that I don't like, it turns out it's a cover of a Grateful Dead song or actually a Grateful Dead song. I like Touch of Grey, like everybody does, because it's a catchy song. I don't really love the Casey Jones, you know, driving that train high on cocaine song, but I can recognize it because it's famous. But there are a lot of times when I'll hear a song and I'll be like, this is a dumb song, and then it's like somebody covering the Grateful Dead.
I see. Well,
are we going out with a Grateful Dead song?
Yeah. Like,
did they do any of the songs on the new Cats soundtrack?
I think they – well, they originally
Jerry
wrote them
Garcia
all, I
believe. Looked like a cat by the end. He really –
you're right. He was cat-ish. I like it.
Kind of round, a lot of facial hair.
Just give me. I mean, this is not a deep cut at all, but the record American Beauty was a kind of nice little folk record. Let me try. Do you know
that's the one with the it's got the skeleton on it with the rose? Is that like every Grateful Dead album? That
it does
kind of
have a
mascot?
Rose. I'm not seeing a skeleton in this one. Oh, it is a okay. Rose. But do you know the song Sugar Magnolia? I feel like you must. It's a
I've heard
song.
Other bands covering it. I'm not even
you don't
joking.
Like it.
No. I want to hear it.
Let's do it. Let's go out with a little Sugar Magnolia.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio, so please do tune in for that. Until then, enjoy your Thursday, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Sugar Magnolia, blossoms blooming, heads all empty and I don't care.
So my baby down by the river,
knew she'd have to come up soon for air.
Sweet blossom, come on, under the willow. We can have high times if you look back. We can discover the wonders of nature,
rolling in the rushes down by the riverside. She's got everything delightful. She's got everything I need. Takes the wheel when I'm seeing double. Pays my ticket when I speed.
Power out.